Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Amos. The Old Testament book of Amos and Amos in chapter number 3. Amos in chapter number 3. If you're looking for Amos, it's in a section of the Bible that we call the Minor Prophets. And if you find the book of Isaiah, then comes Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, then you'll enter to the Minor Prophets section where you come to the book of Hosea, then you'll come to the book of Joel, and then you'll come to the book of Amos. Amos in chapter number 3. We are currently in a series of the shepherd and the sheep that over 100 times God uses the phrase or the idea of the shepherd, the sheep, lamb, and oftentimes it's used as a relationship to describe God's relationship with us, that He is the great shepherd, He is the chief shepherd, He is the good shepherd, and we are the sheep. And He protects the sheep, and He guards the sheep, and He feeds the sheep, and He leads the sheep, and all those things. We also saw a section in our series where we saw that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and that Jesus Christ is declared as the Lamb of God. He is pictured as the Lamb of God. And now we're in a little section dealing with the idea of the under-shepherd and the idea of shepherding the sheep. And we find our way to the book of Amos in chapter number 3. Amos in chapter 3, and if you don't mind, notice with me in verse number 1. Amos chapter 3 in verse number 1, the Word of God says this. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall into a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people be not afraid? Shall there not be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? Publish in the palaces at Ashdod and the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up their violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed and in Damascus in a couch. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Amos? The book of Amos in chapter number 3, and a strange phrase that we find in verse number 12. Amos 3:12, notice the phrase, two legs or a piece of an ear. Two legs or a piece of an ear. And with the Lord's help, I'm going to preach this phrase here. Two legs or a piece of an ear. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And tonight I'm asking for special unction from the Holy One. Special power to make this understandable, to make this clear, to let people have discernment about what you are trying to get across here, the protection and what you have a desire, that we could be warned from that lion who wants to devour the sheep. We're asking again that you would just pour your Spirit down. Show your loving grace. We love you so much. Fill me with your precious Spirit tonight for the purpose that you get your own work accomplished through your precious word. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Amos is a southern preacher who God sent up north to go clear up the things to those Yankees up, to go ahead and explain and preach to them so they can know, thus saith the Lord. And as he's preaching, he's giving some warning and he's trying to give some instruction about what God has planned and what God is trying to do. And through it all, we see God's great shepherding heart, that he's not willing that any shall perish, but all shall come to repentance, that he has a desire to protect all of the flock of God. However, at this time, the flock of God has been very disobedient. And because of that, there is going to be consequences. That Amos is preaching to the northern kingdom, and in a short time, the northern kingdom is going to be destroyed by the Assyrian Empire in 722 BC. And God has sent a preacher to warn them. He sent a preacher to tell them to turn from their wicked ways, to explain to them where they went wrong, and to explain what he is trying to get across. And in the book of Amos, we could see that this southern preacher's up north, and he's trying to encourage them and trying to explain what the process is. If you don't mind, I'd like to walk through this passage really quick, and then I want to spend some time on the application. Notice, if you don't mind, in the book of Amos, chapter 3 and verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken unto against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Now he begins with a series of questions. And let me tell you, all of the answers to the question is no. And it starts off with, can two walk together unless they be agreed? And so God is getting across here, the answer is no, but he wants to get across that he has a desire to be intimate. But it is not God that is moving, it is the people that is moving. If you don't mind, let me use you as an example here. Let's say that Mr. Josh and I are going to walk together. Stand over here if you don't mind, and let's face this way. All right? And so we start off close together, but he is going to continue to walk in a straight line. Whereas me, I'm going to veer off just a little bit. So let's take a step. Take a step. Now, a couple steps in, we're still fairly close. But what's going to happen is that the more steps that we take, the further apart we're going to be. God has a desire to be intimate, to be close to us. However, it is us that have veered away. That whenever we are not in agreement with God, anytime we have our own idea and we don't line up with God's word, we begin to depart away. And there becomes a bigger and bigger gap. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Maybe you have a sibling. Maybe you've seen siblings. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Unless they're in agreement, they're not going to walk together very well. They're going to fight, they're going to push, they're going to walk away. Here we see the same picture. God wants us to be close. But it is not him that is moved. It is us, because we're not in agreement with God, that we begin to walk away further and further and further. And that too, for us to get back, God doesn't have to change. It is us that has to change to come back into alignment with God. And this is getting across here, that the people have walked away from God. They are not in agreement with God. They have an issue with the things that God has set up. And they've wandered away like a sheep having no shepherd, as this phrase pops up over and over in the Bible. Notice as he goes on and gives some more questions, with the answer being no. And verse number 4. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Now, many of you have watched enough TV or heard enough sounds that a lion's roar is pretty frightening. For it to go back and to roar. And what happens is that If you're out in the wild, let's say that you're in the midst of Africa in the high, tall grass, and you hear a roar, you're probably not going to run to the roar. You're going to go the other direction. And any animal that hears the roar, it's going to go in a different direction. And so the question here is, will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? And the answer is no. If the lion hasn't captured something yet, he's not going to roar because he doesn't want to scare away his prey. The lion is going to wait until he finds a weak, a sick, an alone creature. Then it's going to pounce. And after it's killed its prey, then it roars to chase everything else away so it can eat its prey in peace. Notice as it goes on, ask more questions. Verse number 5. Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin? This carries the idea of no bait is for him. So here you say, I'm going to lay a trap for an animal, but I'm not going to bait it. Maybe you got mice and you're familiar with mice and you set up a mouse trap, but you don't put any peanut butter or cheese or anything on it. You're just going to hope that the mice just stumbles upon it. Is that going to work out? No, it's not. Notice as we go on. In verse number 5, can a bird fall in the snare upon the earth and no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare on the earth and have taken nothing at all? Now here comes the idea of the trapper. A trapper lays out a trap and he waits for 5 minutes and says, oop, nothing happened, so let me move it again. Oop, nothing happened, let me turn it again. No, a trapper knows the idea of patience. He's going to wait until it occurs. And so again, the question is no. The answer is no. Notice in verse number 6, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people be not afraid? Back in those days, that dangers lurked about a city. That's why a city had walls. And that wild animals could come to a city. Bandits could come to a city, an invading army. And so when a watchman saw a danger, he would blow the trumpet, and the rest of the city would know that danger approaches and that they are to be ready. And so to hear a watchman blow the trumpet, to have the people afraid, there's something to it. There's something to it. And there's fear in their heart. What is there? What is going to happen? There's a reason why the warning occurred. Notice as it goes on. Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? The answer to everything else is no. And so therefore we conclude that the answer to this question is no. That if God allows a city to be destroyed by the Assyrians, did not God allow it to happen? He did. He did. God did have a plan for it. But here it's saying the opposite. Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? The answer is no. The Lord was in control. It didn't pass by God's understanding. It didn't slip across his desk and he missed it. God knows everything that goes on, and he has a purpose for it all. Notice as it goes on in verse number 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing but. This word but here carries the idea of unless, meaning that surely the Lord will do nothing. He's not going to bring destruction unless he revealed his secret unto the servants the prophet. Verse 7 is a comforting verse. You know what it says here? That God is going to send a preacher to warn the people that they're in danger. Isn't that a loving God? That God is going to send a preacher and say, hey, repent, turn back. Now is the time. God is a very gracious God that he always gives people warning. He gives them warning after warning after warning. Turn back, repent, something's wrong. Unfortunately, most people, when they listen to a preacher, they nod their head and then walk out the door and forget it all. And God was trying to warn them out of his graciousness. He is warning them. He's trying to protect them. He's trying to help them. But God does not send destruction without first sending a preacher to warn the people. Notice what God does in follow-up to this. In verse number 8, the lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, but who can prophesy? It's carrying the idea that God, in verse 7, has used the prophets to warn him things are going to happen. Verse 9, publish or preach in the palaces of Ashdod, and in the palaces of the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof, for they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. And verse number 9 and 10, God is saying, I want you to go to this place and preach. I want you to go to this place and preach because they don't know how to do right. They need a preacher to go in there and say, you need to get right. God is not happy. You need to get right. God is not pleased. And then verse number 11, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, an adversary, there shall be round about in the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. God is saying, I'm warning you that things are going to go to destruction. I'm warning you that if you don't repent, don't get right, bad things are happening. But then we see in verse 12, thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of the bed, and Damascus in a couch. Here we see the idea of a shepherd. The shepherd loves the sheep, and a lion has taken the sheep. And the shepherd goes after and tries to retrieve as much as he can from the lion. And when he gets to the lion, he takes the legs of the sheep, and he pulls and he pulls and he tries to get a grip. And the only thing he salvages is two legs or a piece of an ear. But he salvaged what he could. And with this, explaining the text here, if you don't mind, I'd like to now take this and I want to draw an application. And there are three things I would like to apply dealing with the idea of this picture of a shepherd going after the sheep, doing everything he can to protect the sheep, knowing that God wants people to be close to him, knowing that God is going to give a warning to keep them close to him, knowing that God is going to go after us and do what we can, that we apply it to ourselves in the idea of shepherding people. The very first thing I'd like to do as we apply this is that we are to keep the lambs from the lions. We are to keep the lambs from the lions. Now, oftentimes, we in churches like this, we are very thankful for everyone to get saved. And oftentimes, we may have an evangelist that comes, and he gives his testimony about how he was on drugs, how he was on alcohol, how he was rotten and nasty and all of those things. And praise the Lord, that was a day that he got saved. You may hear of a story of a man who I know of, a missionary in the Philippines, who during the Martin Luther King rallies, he was approached by a preacher, and this man, who was cold-hearted, told that preacher, if you ever talk to me again, I'll kill you. And he meant it. For the next 30 years, he traveled in biker gangs and did imaginable things like bikers do. And he did it all until one day another preacher came and went to this old biker, and he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And praise the Lord for it. He's now a missionary in the Philippines. Praise the Lord that God worked. And we hear stories like that. And sometimes we make so much of a big deal of it that some of the kids look at themselves and say, well, I don't have a story like that. May I tell you, dear kids, we've got a lot of kids here tonight. May I tell you something, kids? The greatest testimony, the greatest testimony is for you to get saved at a young age and never have to have a story like that. To be protected from drugs, to be protected from alcohol, be protected from mistakes in your past that you look back and you regret. In fact, may I do something? We've got kids here, and I want you to pay attention, kids. How many adults wished that you did not make some of the mistakes that you made in life and that you could have avoided them? Absolutely. You see, children, the greatest testimony that you can have is that you got saved at a young age and your mother and father brought you to church and they taught you the Bible and they taught you how to live right and they taught you to stay away from that roaring lion. You understand, that's the greatest testimony, is to keep the lambs away from the lions. Now, not only do we want them saved young, but in order to keep the lambs away from the lions, we have to set up borders. You have to set up fences. We call them standards. Standards are guardrails. They are protections. They're to keep it from the lions. And we understand that different homes will have different standards, but standards are good. You have a home without standards, you have a home that has no protection against the lions. You have a church that has no standards. You have a church that has no protection against the lions. And so, kids, when your parents say, you need to be in bed by 8:30, and you go, but Mom, the rest of the kids don't have to go to bed. It doesn't matter. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to protect you from the lions. When a parent says, you know what, you're not going to have a TV in your room. You are not going to have a phone in your room. Someone will complain, what, you don't trust me? No, I don't trust sin. And we have to protect you. When a church has certain standards and they say, this is what a requirement is. It's not to be mean and it's not to quench people's fun. It's to set up standards to protect people from the lions. And we understand there are people that rebel. And they hate standards. They hate these things that set up. And they think that we're just putting up rules just to make people miserable. But they're not that at all. They're there to protect people. Protect lambs from the lions. And they're good. And they're necessary. And there are some times that a child may not understand. Mom, how come I can't play out in the road? Well, sometimes kids don't understand that a big truck can come by and hit them. But they have a protection there. You can't play out in the road. It is for their protection. I'm sorry, you cannot have a person of the opposite sex alone in your room. But Mom, we're just studying. No, it is for your protection. You have to be at home at a certain time. But that's no fun. Nobody else goes out till night. It doesn't matter. It is for your protection. And we understand that part of the shepherding and part of taking care of people in their homes or in the church is that we set up guardrails to keep them away from the lions. And we see this drawn from the text here as an application that the first of all, we protect the lambs from the lions. A second application we get from this text, drawing the idea of shepherding people, is not only are we to keep the lambs away from the lions, but we're also, once the lion has them, we are to retrieve them from the lion. Once the lion has them, we're to retrieve them from the lion. We're going to go after them. The Bible talks about in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 that it describes Satan as a roaring lion. And then it says, seeking to whom he may devour. The word devour is a very interesting word. It carries the idea to make disappear. You know what Satan wants to do? He wants to make people disappear. He wants to make them gone. And Satan is constantly after people. He is constantly after to make things disappear. Satan wants to make your prayer life disappear. He wants to make your Bible reading disappear. And then if he gets his way, he wants people in this church to disappear. And we do have people that disappear. What is our response? We go after them. We go after them with a shepherd's heart. We don't have a desire to see the lion. That means that we go visit people. We try to call them. If they don't show up, and we want to call and make sure they're all right. We don't want to give any opportunity for a lion to get a hold of them. That sometimes somebody's resistant for coming back. It doesn't mean we wash our hands. Well, they said we're not. We're going to pray for them. We're going to beg them. We're going to desire. We're going to do what we can. And sometimes it requires patience. But we don't want to just let them go. We want to go after them. We want to pray for them. Because Satan wants to make them go devour. And as a good shepherd, that we should go after them. And let them know that we don't want Satan to make them to be devoured. We want to chase after them and do what we can. That means sometimes when we see somebody who's wandering away, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And then we watch someone wandering away. We want to try to chase after them. We want to corral them back. We lovingly want to point them out and say, come back to the Lord. Come back to the Lord. You know, the wonderful thing about the Bible is that it describes itself. It has a word called discernment. Discernment. And the word discernment carries the idea of far seeing. It doesn't just see where people are currently at. It sees where they're going. Remember when we had the illustration up here earlier? We had the young man walking beside me. And the young man was walking straight. and the other person was walking further and further away. Discernment doesn't just see where you're at now, it sees where you're going. And with some people, we have to exercise discernment and we have to warn them. They say, well, what's the matter? I'm in church right now. But you understand you're fixing to be out of church if you continue the way you're going. We have to watch out. The way that you're going is going to lead you astray. Don't go that way. And we try to warn them. We put up guardrails. We do everything we can to keep them from going that direction. That is part of the shepherding work, is that when we see them heading towards the lion, when the lion seeks to devour them, that we have to go over them and not just wash our hands of them. But we also see a third thing in here. That first of all, as we apply this passage, we understand that the first thing we need to do is protect the lambs from the lion. A second thing is, once the lion has them, we're to retrieve them from the lion. We need to go after them. We need to make sure that they don't disappear. But a third thing that we see is that if we lose them to the lion, we are supposed to do everything we can do to save what we can. You know, there are some people, unfortunately, who go and make foolish mistakes and they make a wreck of their life. They may damage their life. And you know what happens in most churches is we get in the gossip tree and say, I knew they were no good. And we have an attitude where we are better than them, and then everyone lines up to kick them while they're down. But the Bible talks about in the book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 1, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. That, you know, sometimes we cannot save all of their life, meaning they've had consequences in their life, but we're going to do whatever we can to pull out what we can. Even if it's just two legs, even if it's just a piece of an ear, that we want to make it so if somebody leaves this church, they always feel like they could come back at all times. That later on, when they made a mistake and they're searching for God, they say, you know what? I had a church family that loved me. They had a pastor that loved me. I want to go back. And that they always feel like they can come back. That we're going to go after them and they made a wreck of their life. We want to make sure that we're available and that we can do what we can to help them restore what they have left. And again, we may not be able to restore all of it because consequences do happen. And God does not erase consequences. But we could restore what we got. We could save what we have. We could do what we can. And this is that picture of the shepherd going after the lion and almost in a tug of war. He knows he's not going to save all of the lamb, but he's trying to get what he can from the lion. That's part of the shepherding work, is to go after them, to pray for them, to love on them, to make it so that they're always available. Never get to the place where we just wash our hands and say, they'll never amount to nothing. But beg and plead, make ourselves available. Please come back. Please come back. Please come back. What can we do? I'm praying for you. We love you. Even if it's my own children, we don't want to wash my hands of them. If one day one of my daughters decides that she wants to go out with a guy with hair dragging the pavement behind him and having jeans so tight that you could tell if the quarter in his pocket's heads or tails, we still don't want to chase them away. We still want to make them feel like they could always come back, and we want to restore and we want to help them what we can. Now, we want to protect them from ever getting to that place. But if they do, we want to make it so that way they could always come back, and we'll try to rebuild and restore what we can. But part of that, it's our own attitude. That when we look at people, sometimes we're so quick that we want to wash our hands. We're tired of doing the work. Let me tell you, this is hard work. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of prayer and it takes a lot of tears to shepherd as we ought. But to always make it so they could come back at any time. This is that shepherding work. By the way, this is the great shepherding heart of God. That no matter what you have done, no matter how far you have gone, God will always take you back. That's the encouraging thing. Now, that's not permission to go do whatever you want, but it's the encouragement for us. It's encouragement for parents who look at their child and look at them and so brokenhearted that God will always take them back. It's the encouragement for children who look at their parents and see them so far away that God will still take them back. Spouses looking at their significant others and looking at them and realize that no matter how far they've gone, God will always take them back. What a great hope that God still loves us. Now, God may do some things to chastise us. There are some consequences for sin. There are things that God may do in order to bring people back to himself, and he knows what it's going to take. And there's sometimes that in order to be a good shepherd, we pray that God does whatever it takes. You take a sheep. We could learn a lot from sheep. There are sometimes that a sheep, it will look down at a ledge and off of the mountains in Judea. It's a very mountainous area. And a sheep will sometimes look down and say, hey, that ledge looks like it's interesting, and step off the ledge and fall down. And a shepherd would have to take his shepherd's crook, his staff, and pick the sheep back up and restore him back. And that same sheep will look back and say, hey, I think there's something interesting down there. And it will jump right back down. And the shepherd will have to pick it back up and restore it, put it back on its feet. And when you know, that same sheep will look back and say, hey, I think there's something interesting down there, and it will go back down. When it seems obvious that the sheep will not learn its lesson, the shepherd does something horrific. He breaks the sheep's leg. You say, that's horrible. Well, what the shepherd's trying to do is trying to make sure the sheep will not do it again. But he doesn't leave the sheep there. He then picks up the sheep and carries it around his neck. And until the leg's healed, the shepherd will carry that sheep around and transport that sheep wherever it needs to go until that leg is healed and that sheep will not make that mistake again. There are some times that God has to do that in order to get our attention. And that is the loving act of God to allow things in our life to bring us back to himself, back to that fellowship, when we won't learn any other way. God wants it so that way a preacher preaches and you are so sensitive and so ready to respond that you say, yes, sir, just hearing the preaching of God's word, you get right. Unfortunately, that doesn't always work. Unfortunately, there are sometimes a person could hear a message and get cold-hearted because they're disobedient and disappear and fall away. And God has to do something drastic to bring them back. And it's God's loving act to bring them back. That's part of the shepherding. That's part of what God is doing. And what we are to do is be ready as a hospital to restore them when God has got their attention to bring them back into fellowship with God. And we see this picture here. Two legs and a piece of an ear. That we're supposed to go and try to do whatever we can to rescue people or salvage as much as we can from people and bring them back to the great shepherd. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.